Thank you for staying with Consider This. Melissa and Sherrod here with you tonight. We're speaking to Dr. Kor Swee King, physician and global health expert from Oxford University. Now, you wrote a brilliant article which argued for an all of science approach to tackling the coronavirus, this COVID-19 virus. Talk to us a little bit about how it's more than just medical sciences.
I can, Melissa. And after talking about how it's more than just medical sciences, I would like to enlarge the conversation, perhaps to talk about the political will that's needed to fix this outbreak and also to prepare for future ones. I'm a doctor. We were trained to think of ourselves as the only and most important part of a health system, that we deliver all the care, we make all the decisions, we allocate all the resources, when in actual fact, that's actually not true. We need virologists and scientists and bench scientists for absolutely sure. So we will call them the health professionals as a broad bucket. Mm. But there are many other scientists like sociologists and historians and psychologists and communications experts that can teach us and tell us how best to respond to an outbreak, because outbreaks are not just a medical problem. We've seen the challenges of social media, the palpable fear in populations, how there's a spread of fake news, and how the MCMC, or Multimedia Commission of Malaysia, has cracked down on all that. And we can't just rely on health systems to provide the vaccines and the cures for viruses. We need an all-of-science response. A very practical example would be to say that we need potentially a computer scientist, a data scientist, and a mathematician to project the disease modelling. And this is something that doctors and epidemiologists and public health physicians may be able to do, but I think we'll do it better if we have mathematicians and computer scientists and data scientists and modelling experts to tell us where the virus might go. Okay. That's an example.
I guess, you make this compelling argument in the South China Morning Post for this approach, and you say something like, I'm sure a paleontologist might actually, and this is a person who digs for bones of dinosaurs, right? That they might have something to tell us. But it seems very generous, intellectually generous of you to say so. But people might turn around and say, but ultimately, isn't this a medical problem? It's about sick people in beds that need medication. Yeah. How do you make the argument for, especially in a time of crisis, making sure you have this universe, this, a rather Catholic approach to bringing all these different experts into to the decision-making table?
This is a challenging question to answer, Sharad. In emergency situations, the tendency is for us to retreat to our comfort zone of intellectual abilities. If we're trained in medicine, we're going to return to our comfort zone and exclude everyone else in our ivory towers. But as I've proven just now, we need modelling experts and mathematicians to help us with very complex projections. Maybe we need game theorists, for example, to tell us where the outbreak might go next, and somebody who specializes in travel patterns around the world and analyzes flights to tell us where the next focal point of the outbreak might be. A paleontologist generally is a little generous. I have in mind somebody who studies chicken bones to look at global health centuries ago. Why? Because there are more chicken bones in the world than there are human bones, because there's simply many more chickens that have survived and obviously died, and therefore we have the bones. And
from there
we
can see a lot of nugget thing. Sorry, don't mean all the nugget chicken nuggets have created this mass of chicken bones. But go on, please.
Well, there are many nuggets of information in what we're talking about tonight. In a way, we need, or rather health sciences, certainly play a very important role, and I don't diminish the importance of health professionals, but allowing some other people into the decision-making room to be generous in a way would allow for better decision-making. Obviously, those people who are, say, a mathematician, right, would need to have a bit of a comfort level, and maybe they'll get a bit of a training this outbreak in order for them to be more effective in the next outbreak. So we don't have to put all our, say, eggs in one basket, to follow on the chicken theme, in this particular outbreak, but also to look at future ones.
Okay, that's not happening. You're saying that's not happening. This idea of bringing everybody together...
Is it happening right now?
The resistance to it? Mm.
In general terms, not happening. Okay. In general terms. There'll be pockets of people who are collaborating in a very interdisciplinary way. A lot of these universities in the West, for example, where they have a lot of resources, and their health systems aren't fighting the virus. One of Malaysia's beauties, but also simultaneously a challenge for Malaysia, is that our health professionals are very competent. And I trust them with many, many things. Mm. They are very busy operating. They don't have time to do research. Whereas in the West, they may have a bit more luxury of time to both operate a little bit and to do research a little bit and to publish a little bit. Whereas our professionals in Malaysia are very practice-oriented.
Well, okay, so if you say that perhaps this isn't happening right now, then that means that the decisions, the hard decisions that are being made, are perhaps not being made by everyone collectively at the table. How do we ensure that during a time of outbreak, that our health systems remain equitable in terms of making those hard decisions, especially if we're not asking everyone involved?
Melissa, I'm glad you brought this up. It's an opportunity for me to plug the three E's of a health system, which is firstly to talk about the effectiveness of a health system, meaning the quality of care. Secondly, the efficiency, meaning the cost effectiveness, whether or not you can deliver the highest level of care at the lowest cost. And finally, the equity of it, which is important in outbreak situations. We're too focused on the effectiveness and the efficiency. We forget to talk about the equity of it. There could be a situation in our outbreak response in Malaysia where care is diverted away, including money and resources and human personnel, diverted away from caring for diabetes, for cancer, for pregnant women going through childbirth, and being diverted to fight the outbreak. We need to fight the outbreak, but we need to fight this in ways that are proportional and sustainable. The fatigue of the health system is one thing. The fatigue of the professionals in the health system is another. The reallocation of resources from, shall we say, routine business as usual tasks and diseases must also be prioritized at the same time. How can we do that? By perhaps ring-fencing the allocations, ring-fencing some time, for example, to say that, okay, X number of professionals and X amount of money cannot be diverted away from the core delivery functions of the Ministry of Health and the business as usual requirements as well. Media attention and public attention must also be proportional to the situation at hand. At the moment in Malaysia, like you mentioned, Melissa, 22 cases, 9 of whom have recovered.
Right.
13 are under therapy, none have died, no new cases today. To put in a sense of proportion, I believe that over 100 people passed away in traffic accidents during the Chinese New Year break around the same time with the coronavirus. That is disproportional. Why are we not talking about traffic accidents? Why are we not talking about routine care for indigenous people in Sabah and Sarawak, whereas disproportional amounts of fear and panic is devoted to, while I admit, a fear of the unknown, it is still a fear that needs to be proportional to the fear of the unknown.
And it's like the cycle, isn't it? The more we talk about it, the more we cover it, the more, you know, the fear, and then the resources get allocated to it. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back continuing this conversation on Consider This. Don't go anywhere.